Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you and always glad to welcome back to the program Dr. Bob Zybak, who is, well, he's one of the experts in this subject. And I just kind of wonder, we've been following this and it's a story that doesn't get a lot of coverage right now, even though it literally involves hundreds of millions of dollars, money that could go to the Common School Fund. Dr. Zybak, good to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Lars.
So where do we stand right now with the proposed sale of the Elliott State Forest, 85,000 acres of beautiful timberland, but now, I guess, constrained by so many rules that they've actually cut the value of the forest from maybe a high of $800 million down to where the state's willing to fire sale it off for less than a quarter of a billion?
Yep, it's conservatively estimated to be about $600 million to $800 million worth of timber. The state set a flat rate of $220 million. They got a single bidder, and tomorrow they make a decision whether to sell the remaining portions of the Elliott State Forest.
Well, and ordinarily from the outside, if you saw any government agency selling any kind of resource or item of value, whether it was vehicles or land or buildings or anything, and selling it at a tiny fraction of what it's said to be worth, and selling it to a single bidder where no other bidders emerged, you might suspect that the fix was in.
It does seem odd. I'm not sure that it is. Lone Rock is a great company. They've got wonderful people there, but for the last 20, 25 years, there's been an effort on the part of the state lands board, which has been in place since 1859, to reduce the income to the Elliott State Forest to the point where in the last 3 to 5 years they've been operating at a loss. They should be generating about $10 million a year for the state school fund.
And instead they're actually having to pay money out of pocket just to operate the forest.
Yes, and that's only been the last few years. The curious thing about that is the entire forest is second growth, despite what the environmental movement's claiming.
The entire forest. Growth. I want people to nail that down in their heads. The whole forest is second growth, meaning it's already either been logged or burned once, and all the trees that are there that have been put in the ground, since people arrived in the state.
Since white people did,
white
sure.
people arrived in the state, yeah.
Yep, the fire of 1868, the Coos Fire, took out the whole area. So where you hear about murrelet habitat around 1900, they're talking about 30-year-old trees. Then the Columbus Day storm in 1962 blew down over 100 million feet. So they put in a wonderful road network. Oregon State University helped design it. Jerry Phillips operated just a wonderful setup for salvaging the dead trees and encouraging the remaining trees to grow. So one point is, if you go 5 years without cutting anything, the forest doesn't stop growing. So even though they lose $1 million, they're gaining $10 million worth of timber.
Tell me this, though. One number I like to throw at my audience is the sustained yield number. And I've done it with other forests, but I don't happen to know it for the Elliott State Forest. That's the number of board feet of timber or lumber, wood, that's added to a forest. In other words, it's added a little bit to every single tree gets added. And if you cut at that sustained yield level, you literally never run out of trees because you're cutting it at or below the rate that it's growing. So you can just keep cutting. Bob, the best comparison I've tried to use is a metaphor, because people say, but if you cut the trees down, they'll be gone. And I said, no, think of it like your hair. My hair grows about 3/4 inch a month. If I go get a haircut every month and have 3/4 inch cut off, I always have the same amount of hair. If I cut 2 inches a month, I would run out of hair at some point. And if I didn't cut it at all, by the middle of next year, it'd be down to my backside. So, so understand it that way. But if you know how much grows and how much you can cut at that rate forever and never run out. What's that rate for the Elliott? Do you know?
Well, I think they grow 600 to 800 board feet per
million.
Acre. Per acre per year.
Oh, per year, like per acre per year.
Yes, and the total growth is, we always like to put out growth and yield models, but the reality is windstorms, wildfires, And the Elliott's really steep, so a lot of us open to landslides jack that number around. So if you got 80,000 acres and it's averaging 600 or 700 board feet growth per year, you can do the math pretty easy.
Yeah, and you could cut that amount every single year, sell the merchantable timber, and never run out of trees on the forest. What are they going to allow the new owners to be able to cut every year?
Well, the new owners will have a new set of laws. I think they would have to expedite things. If they're going to spend $220 million, they're going to have to increase the rate of cut. Certainly the rate of cut the last 20 or 25 years because of State Board of Forest reactions has really been reduced, and now we got a bunch of lawyers working instead of loggers.
And do they have any confidence or reason to be confident that if they buy this thing, that every time they try and cut anything off that forest, that they're not going to be met with a whole bunch of lawsuits and obstruction?
Well, there's no guarantee. If they sell it, it certainly looks like the state will be open to lawsuits. The laws are different for state land than private land. So private land has a lot more leeway. But the main thing is, most of these regulations are ephemeral. They're imposed artificially by people, especially in the last 5 or 10 years, or even the last few weeks on the marbled muralette study. So these things are transitional, and they can buy the land, hold on to it for 10 years. It'll have 10 years of growth, and clear cut the whole thing, possibly. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It creates lots of jobs, lots of income.
Absolutely. Or they could cut it. The state could have chosen over the last 25 years just to cut its sustained yield. And as you said, could have generated $10 million a year for the last 25 years. So is it fair to say the state has passed on maybe $250 million of income it could have received from that forest?
I think it's fair. They put in new regulations in that. 23 years ago, I wrote a paper on the history, the fire history of the Elliott, demonstrating that it's a second growth forest. At that time, that was entered in with an industrial response to managing marbled muralettes, totally ignored. So that information is just as valid now, and it contradicts both the positions of the state and environmentalists.
But tomorrow they do the deal. The state gets less than $250 million for the whole shooting works, and a private company owns it. And again, I don't have a beef with the private company, but I do have a beef with the fact that the state diminished the value of the forest by putting all these rules on the use of the forest. So the buyer has to look at it and say, well, under that set of rules, it's only worth $220 million.
Yep. They definitely put in some odd requirements. The appraisal was done really well, really professionally, but it was based on having two arms tied behind your back. Now, one thing I'd like to discuss is a third option. Rather than locking the whole thing up or clear-cutting the whole thing, Senator Farioli has been promoting the Giese plan. Wayne Giese's 97 now. He's been pushing it for years on federal lands to divide the lands into thirds, one-third for active management, one-third for wildlife habitat, one-third riparian. So Farioli, and they met with the governor today. The proposal is to do it for a 20-year period, take half the sub-basins, about 20, open them to timber management, take the other half, use them for a preserve, and then monitor it with the school kids of Oregon. Use it as an experimental forest where the kids can learn management, learn the options, monitor wildlife, use it for recreation.
How much would they likely earn on the Giese plan?
It should be up to about $10 million a year. And then
In 20 years, they'll get just as much money from managing it that way as they would by just selling it outright today.
Yep. And they would have a half the forest dedicated to old growth, one-third or less than one-third riparian fish, freshwater, recreation. It'd be 100% open to the public instead of 50%.
Well, I'll tell you what, that sounds like a much better plan. What's the likelihood that Governor Brown's going to do that and head off tomorrow's sale?
Well, I don't think they can do it tomorrow. The state land board's only three people. Two of them are going to be gone, so January 1st. They'll have a new board, and probably February 14th is going to be the big meeting.
Very good. Bob, if people want to learn more about this, what's the best place for average folks to go and read more about this?
Probably the newspapers lately. As far as the Gysi plan and that, I wrote an article about it about 2 years ago. It focused on federal land. So this would be a demonstration. This would be a learning opportunity, educational research for our school kids. And they could even have a hand in managing the income from the property over that period of time. And certainly that would be giving them the information they would need to make decisions on federal lands in the interim, and also to make a more reasoned decision regarding the Elliott in 20 years.
Dr. Zybeck, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
You bet.
You bet. Dr. Bob Zybeck with us. Back in a moment. You've got the Lars Larson Show. Portland's best traffic always comes from Jordan Schultz on FM News 101 KX.